1 Corinthians 13, I want to look back at some verses we dealt with beginning last Sunday. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity thoughteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Did not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether it be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I hope you understand that the word here, charity, is another word for love. It is the word agape. God produced love, the kind of love that God has. It is an action word. It is a verb. That means it is not proven or demonstrated by what we say. We can say, I love you all day. But that's not what demonstrates if we really do love someone. We can feel emotional about something or someone. It has very little, even though it does have some, it has very little about real love, the kind of God's love. Real love, God's love, the kind of love that we read about here is an action word. In other words, it is proven and is revealed by what we do. And notice what he says. You can have all these wonderful things that he does not condemn. In fact, endorses. All these things, faith and all that's mentioned. And all these good works and sacrificial deeds, but he says if you do it without love, if you do not have real love, he said you're just like a bunch of noise. Your good is for nothing. That's what I'm preaching on, good for nothing. He says it like this. Here we go again. Hold on. Is a bunch of noise that really will kind of irritate you. You get no benefit from it. And he said, that's what love that is not real is like. That's why in 2 Corinthians 8:8 it says, prove the sincerity of your love. Make sure it's real. The best I can tell, there's three different kinds of love that the Bible deals with. And I want to look at those a little bit this morning. But I want to mention first that we find here that Paul is talking about a perversion of love. I have looked at the perception of love. What in the world is it? And the permanence of love, the kind of love that we find here is forever, even in heaven. And the prominence of love, he says it's better than anything. And you take love away, you have nothing. You're good for nothing. And then the portrait of love, he says, look at Christ. If you want to know what love is, look at his life. Look at the Father and how he gave. That's love. That's real love. But I want to look this morning at the perversion of love. Notice in the verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love. He says, I don't know what you have, but it's not love. I don't know what you're doing there in the church, but you're not loving. I don't know what it is between you and your father. They were really saved, but he says it's not real love. You have perverted love. You do not have the real love. And that's sometimes and maybe much of the time what's true of us. The kind of love that we have is not the kind of love that God endorses and encourages, not the kind of love he's pleased with. For the kind of love we find here, this perverted love, is a love that loves themselves. They love themselves, and so many times I'm afraid we do. We also pervert love when we live for ourselves. When we care more for ourselves and our desires and our goals and what we want than what even God wants, that's a perverted love. We are loving, but we're loving ourselves. Could I mention first, the first kind of love I want to mention this morning is spiritual love. That's what he's talking about here. This agape, this charity. It is the kind of love that God has. I don't question God's love about me. I know he does. And it's not just because he said he does. The Bible tells me he does. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, it does. And I know he has told me that he loves me, but he has shown me that he loves me by how he treats me and how good he is and how sometimes he chases and convicts and makes me miserable, shows me he loves me. And that's the kind of love that we talk about here. That's the kind of love that God says we're to have, a selfless love, which means we love others before ourselves. And it's not just a selfless love, it's a sacrificial love. Real love costs you something. I see many people in this building this morning who have shown their love to somebody else by taking care of them when they were sick. That is a sacrificial love. It costs to love, and that's the kind of God love we're talking about. It's a spiritual love. It's not only selfless, I put others before me, and sacrificial, I'm willing to do what it takes to help them. It's a spiritual love. It is something that comes from God. And it is something where we want their spiritual wellness before anything else. It is more than just, I want to make them happy. I want to make them smile. I want to make sure they have a good time today. It is a spiritual thing. I want the best for them spiritually. I want them to love God. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. It is not only a selfless love and a sacrificial love and a spiritual love. It is a supernatural love. It is something that comes from God. You don't generate this, you see. You don't wind it up. You don't make it happen. And that's why Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. It's something he does in us. That's why we need to ask him for this kind of love. It's a spiritual love. I want you to, if you will, turn to Matthew 22 for just a second. I want you to look at a verse or two. Matthew 22, begin reading in verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. A man comes and asks Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? My, what an important question this is. What's the greatest commandment in the law? Boy, that's a big question. I want to hear the answer, don't you? Yes, I do. And he says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord. Wait a minute, what? There's nothing here quite yet about doing something. Don't do something. Make sure you measure up. The law is a bunch of rules and regulations, isn't it? Well, sort of. But he said the way to please God and the way to keep the law, notice, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. First commandment is love God with all you got. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. He said, I'll tell you what's most important. I'll tell you the most important commandments. Number one, love God. Number two, love people. And he says, on these two things hang all the law and all those Old Testament prophets that preach so much is all hanging on this. Do you love God? Do you love others? And why in the world would he say that? Why is that true? It's true because he said it. But why did he say it? Well, if you love God, you don't want to hurt God. And if you don't want to hurt God, you sure do not want to do anything that He has told you not to do. If we love God, He doesn't have to keep telling us, don't you go after other gods. Don't you go after other gods. Don't you worship any idols. Don't you kill. Don't you. If we love Him, we will automatically want to do His will. So if that's the first commandment, what's the second? To love your neighbor as yourself. To love others. If we truly love, I'm talking about spiritual love. The kind of love that God says, I want you to have this. I want you to check in your life and ask yourself, is this the kind of love I have? The first commandment is love God, and if I love Him, I will do what He says, and I won't do what He says don't do. And then He says, love each other, love your neighbor. And if I love others, I won't do anything that's going to hurt them. The Bible says, do not steal. I'm not going to steal from somebody if I love them. The Bible says, do not commit adultery. That's a law that He's asking, which is the best commandment, which is the most important commandment. He said, love your neighbor. And if you love them, you won't steal from them. You won't tell lies on them. You won't talk about them. You won't do that. All these commandments hang on this fact. Do you love God? Do you love others? That's spiritual love. And I want to tell you it's important. And that's why 1 Timothy 4:9 says, ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. God's people, we are taught automatically by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God that we are to love each other. And that's because we are of the same family, and we have the same Father, and we have the same faith. And hopefully we have the same focus. We love the things that God loves. And we have the same future. We're going to go to heaven today, together one day. And therefore, He said, you ought to love each other because God is teaching you to love each other. Colossians 3:14 says, above all. That means above all. Above all these things, put on charity. Above all you're doing, above all you're don't doing, above all your rules, above all your desire, make sure you put first love God and love others. Charity should come first. I'm talking about spiritual love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, there it is again, have fervent charity among yourself, a burning love, a driving love, an overwhelming love of how we feel. No, because the Bible says we're to love our enemies. And I guarantee you, you don't feel ooey-gooey about them. But it's a doing what we do and how we treat them. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We ought to be busy trying to provoke, stir up, cause love, not division or heartache or hurt. Spiritual love, He says, this is agape. But then there's not only spiritual love, there's a self-love. And it is really love. But the problem is, this love is for me. I love me. Self-love has to do not with others, but with me. If it has anything to do with others, it's the fact that I want them to treat me the way I want to be treated. And that means I love myself. It's love for me. Here it is. Listen. I love me, so I want you to treat me the way I want to be treated. By the way, young people, that boy will say, if you love me, you'll. And sometimes a girl will say, if you love me, you'll. Well, that ain't love. That's self-love. That's them loving themselves and just wanting what you can give them. By the way, pack up your bag and say bye-bye when that happens. Self-love is loving self, loving me. We talk about finding love. I think we're in love with love. I do believe that. But we talk about finding love. Finding someone we can love, finding somebody who can love us. And even in marriage, when you get married, if you ain't careful, you'll not marry somebody you can love, but somebody will treat you to where you feel loved. So self-love, loving me instead of others, loving me instead of God. And this masquerades in so many ways. It's just not just between communication between me and somebody. Not just between you and your mate, you and your family. It has your whole life involved. In other words, there's people working themselves to death. Long hours tearing themselves down, beating themselves up because they love themselves. It brings them recognition. It covers itself up and masquerades as ambition or desire or drive, a workaholic. And they're driven and they're pushed and they're pulled because they love themselves. Self-love. And a lot of times even generosity. People give, people do, people go. People volunteer. Not really because they love others, but because they love themselves. And they want the recognition. I'm telling you, this runs deep. This is not just a surface thing that you can brush through and go on to the next point. Self-love. And I'll say this and I'll go on. We think very little about self-love. But God doesn't. In fact, He calls it sin. When I love me more than Him, there's a problem. And when I love me more than others, there's a problem. So there's spiritual love, that kind of love that God has for me, that He wants me to have for Him and for others. And there's self-love, where I love myself. But then number three, there's sinful love. And that's why John said, love not, did you hear it? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The love of the Father, the love of the world. This is an old fleshly thing where we love things and we love the world and we love what the world calls fun and having a good time. And I want to tell you, this kind of love will enslave us. It'll bind us. We'll form habits that only the Lord can break. We'll do things that we cannot control ourselves without God's divine intervention. This sinful love controls us. It'll be like bait that fish gotta have. It looks so good, but there's a hook in it. So I'm saying all that to get this one point. Paul said, you have perverted love. You have made it something almost ugly. And at the best, you've made it something not what God wanted. You've perverted it. You've twisted it. And I want to look at that kind of love, that perverted love. That twisted love, loving self, loving sin, loving things, anything other than spiritual love, any kind of love other than spiritual love is wrong love. Even the kind of love, the real love that you have for a husband or a wife that includes physical feelings, that's a good and godly thing in the right setting. So I want to mention this morning the perverted love and its reason. Why in the world do we pervert love? Why in the world are we having issues with love? Well, I'll say it like I've said it already. We love ourselves. We love ourselves more than we love God, and we love ourselves more than we love others, and we love ourselves more than we love anything else, and we want our way, and we want our thing, and our issues, and we love ourselves. We want our desire more than His desire. We want to live for me more than for Him. That's perverted love, and that's the reason. The reason. You can boil it down. That's what Jesus said. What's the greatest commandment? And He said the greatest commandment, all the law hangs on this. Love God and love others. And everything we do wrong can be traced to this. I don't love God as much as me. And I don't love others as much as me. That's the reason for this perverted love. I just don't love others or God as much as I love me. Perverted love and its reason, but how about this? Perverted love and its results. any kind of sin as a result. I'm telling you, God said this is sin. It's not just the norm for the day. It's not just the way that I am. He said, if we don't love right, it's sin. And perverted love, it is results. There are dramatic consequences to not loving right. There are dramatic situations we put ourselves in if we do not love right, whether we don't love Him right or love others right, or we love ourselves too much. The perverted love and its results, there's a lot of people suffering, and it's because they don't love God enough, or they don't love others enough, or they love themselves too much, and they're paying the consequences of it, and they're miserable and not happy, and they're struggling, and they're not willing to admit the root of the problem and deal with it and get it right. So they struggle on in their misery instead of facing up to it and getting it right. So the perverted love and its results, the consequences, it causes spiritual problems. And David's finally admitting his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. In Psalm 51, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, the Old Testament economy, the Holy Spirit came to a person and helped them with what was needed, and then He left that person and ascended back to heaven. Now we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who never leaves us. Old Testament did not have that. He came, the Holy Spirit came and went. And David, when he finally is admitting his sin, did you hear that? He admitted his sin. What sin? Going into Bathsheba? Not too sure. Failing God by sinning? Having Uriah killed? Yes and no. The real sin was he loved himself. He loved himself more than God. When God said, "You know that's wrong," he did it anyway. And he loved himself more than Bathsheba, and he loved himself more than Uriah, and that's why he did what he did. And now he is finally admitting his failure, and he said, "Oh God, please don't go away. Oh God, please don't leave me alone." And that tells me something. Sin, including the sin of lacking love, makes us lose that fellowship with the Lord. Not our salvation, but our fellowship. I talked to somebody not long ago. They said, "God won't speak to me anymore." And I said, "Yes, He will. If you'll tell Him whatever He knows, you know He needs to hear, and you'll get right with Him, and you'll listen and spend enough time, He will speak. But there comes a time when we so grieve Him, He'll just back off." And I promise you, there's nothing more miserable on earth than somebody who is saved, who has done something to grieve the Holy Spirit to where he's backed off. And that fellowship is hindered at least, and gone at worst. Salvation, of course not. But that's the results of perverted love, loving myself more than God, loving myself more than others. God says it's important. The results... spiritual problems. David said in Psalm 32, verse 4, "For day and night thy hand was heavy on me." God heavily grieved David. You ever been chastened by God? You ever had His heavy hand of anger on you? I promise you, you weren't smiling. I guarantee you, you weren't clicking your heels and shouting the glory down. Because it causes severe spiritual problems. We forfeit God's blessings. We forfeit His fellowship. We forfeit His joy. We forfeit His power. We forfeit answered prayer. We can pray till the cows come home. When we have sin in our life that we're not dealing with, God said, "I won't hear your prayer." We forfeit our testimony. People see it. I'm telling you, this is serious. And it's all because we don't love like we're supposed to. Spiritual problems. You see, what we do is we take ourselves out of the place of blessing. There's a center, there's a bullseye, if you will, of our lives, the center of God's will, and that's the place of blessing. And when we get out of God's will, when we get out of that center of the bullseye, we forfeit His blessings. We get out of that place of blessings, and I'm telling you, we got trouble. We have become separated. Listen to this. We have become separated from our helper and His help. I'm telling you, this is pretty serious. I'm talking about perverted love and its results. There's spiritual problems. There's also physical problems. 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause, for this reason, many are weak physically and sickly physically among you, and many sleep. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about misusing the communion service, the Lord's table. Well, what does that mean? It means they didn't love like they should. God had told them how to do it, and they said, we don't care. And God had said, this is to bring you together. The communion service is to bring you together as a family. And you as a family ought to remember what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And they came and had a, listen to this, a love feast where they brought a meal and they ate. And the idea was to show their love for each other and show their love for God. And by the way, there wasn't one thing wrong with that. God had not told them to do it, but he was not grieved because they did it. He was grieved how they did it. You know what they did? Those who were rich brought large, extravagant meals. And those that were poor had nothing or very little to bring. And those with big meals came and they gathered in the corner and they ate their meal and they did not share it. And they're showing off, they're enjoying the time, and some have little or nothing. I got a question. Is that love? Is that love? And Paul says, because you do not love like you're supposed to, and you're showing so much selfishness, he said, because of that, and only because of that, some of you are weak physically, some of you are sick, and some of you have died. I'm telling you, there's some big results to this thing of not loving right. Physical problems. Psalm 32, verse 4, my moisture is turned into drought of the summer. This is still David praying about his need to get right and the consequences of his sin. The consequences of him not loving God as much as he should, not loving Uriah and Bathsheba as much as he did himself. And he said this, the moisture in his body is turned into the drought of summer. Our body, I'm talking about physical issues because of our sin that we have not acknowledged and dealt with. Our body is controlled, if you will, run by fluids. And the brain is the center of it all, sends out, makes sure it gets sent out, just like blood to organs. You don't have blood in your organs are going to die. They're going to start failing. You're going to have big problems. And the secretion to the glands, all this is controlled physically. And David said, all of that is drying up inside. All that's drying up. He said, there's some body functions that's going haywire. Why? Because he was sick? Yeah, but because he had disobeyed God. I'm talking about the perversion of love and its results. Spiritual problems, physical problems, social problems. I just said already, the love feast, they're supposed to show love. They were misusing it. There was a problem through the whole church because of lack of love. Do you hear what I'm saying? There was a problem through the whole church because there was a lack of love. And they would not admit that they loved themselves more than God and they loved themselves more than others. And it's causing problems. There's spiritual problems and physical problems and emotional problems or social problems, but also emotional problems. Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He says, it feels like my bones are crushed inside. Emotionally, David is struggling. And there are emotional problems. Does that mean every emotional problem is because of sin? Of course not. Does that mean every physical problem is because of sin? Of course not, but some are. Some are. I'm saying, just like God said, this is something serious. It's something to consider. Perverted love and its reason, perverted love and its results. And then lastly, perverted love and its remedy. I sure do want to get some help. How in the world do I fix this? How do I get or apply, or how am I controlled by the agape love that God has, where I can love Him more than me and love others more than me? Well, number one, admit that you don't. If you don't, just be honest. I'll tell you one thing. You may sneak somebody something by someone. We may hide our actions and our emotions and our thoughts and our desires between us and someone, but we don't hide them from God. So we just will be honest and admit it. David finally said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. He hid it for almost a year, tried to. But finally, it got to where it was more than he could handle. And he finally said, you're right, you're right, you're right. I don't love you near as much as I thought I did. I did wrong to prove it. David said, when I kept silence, in other words, I would not have been my failure. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. Admit it. Be honest. I'm selfish in my love. I love me more than God. I love me more than others. I don't love like He's loved me. I don't love like I ought to. And I want to admit it. I want to be honest. I want to ask Him for help. You see, excusing ourselves for any reason is not good enough. I would not act this way if they did not do this to me. I would not have said that had they not said what they did about me. I would not do this. I would not do that. I wouldn't go there. I mean, listen, we can excuse ourselves until, again, the cows go home. But excusing ourselves doesn't get it fixed. We need to be honest, acknowledge it, admit it. Number one, admit. Number two, confess. Read Psalm 51 when you get a chance. God said, or David said to God, oh God, I am so sorry. Oh, cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me. I have failed you. I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. Confess and repent. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit within me. Oh God, you're right. I've sinned. I just don't love like I should. I don't love you like I ought to. I love me more than anything. I love myself my way, my desire, my pleasure, my ease more than anything. Lord, I admit it. I'm sorry. I'm confessing. Admit it. Be honest. Confess and repent, which means turn away from it just like any other sin. And then number three, accept the forgiveness. Know He forgave you if you really confess. In the same Psalm 32, David said, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Thou forgave the iniquity of my sin. And he said also in that same Psalm, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He said, oh my, it feels so good to be clean again. Feels so good to be right again. I'm so glad there's nothing between me and my Lord. Now this morning, I promise you, this is not kind of some kind of message you can just sort of get on the surface. It cuts deep. Because we're not talking about what we do or what we say. What we do say, don't say. Do or don't do. Only. But we're talking about why. Do we love God? Do we love others? Or do we love ourselves? He said, the entire law hangs on that. Must be important. Look at your life and how you live between you and God. You'll see how much you love Him. Look at your life between you and others. You'll see how much you love them and also how much you love yourself. Let's stand together.